dead. Apparently, Storm even mentioned the Reading the Bible story this morning on AM Northwest. Kristen says, I was the only one who understood the gist, although Helen Raptus had a shocked look on her face for just a moment. What the Helen Raptus? Is she the person on AM North? Well, she must be. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Let's see. Oh, Heavens to Betsy. That was Corinne Tucker's first band before she became the lead singer of Slater Kinney. They were a riot girl band, apparently. God, welcome to the 90s. Hey, who are Slater and Kinney? That's a thing I wonder all the time.
Slater
actually.
Kinney?
No. That's an exit. I know. Okay. Yes, I know. I understand that Slater Kinney's a band, and I know that it's the Slater-Kinney exit. I'm saying, what is that? Who are Slater and Kinney, though? That must be named after somebody. I know they're named after the exit, right, or the whatever, but I just don't... Laura asked me the other day, she's like, well, where did that come from? Like, who are Slater and Kinney? That's an interesting sort of little factoid, and I don't know the answer to that. Anyway. Rick, don't you think the person most thankful for Anna Nicole's death is Lisa Norak, the kooky astronaut lady? She was the story. Yeah, no, that's true. Also, Nancy Grace, man. Like, Nancy Grace been doing it because of the, not like Michael Jackson was giving her anything to work with recently. Scott Daly and Aaron Duran are here. We'll talk to them, I'm sure. And look what I got. I got a second bag of Chex Mix. Because the guy who stocks the vending machine, and I feel like an ass because I forgot his name. I want to call him Matt, but I want to call everybody Matt. I don't know why that is.
Is this like Megan's boyfriend who's your next door neighbor? Yeah. You're calling Matt, but it's Mike?
Yeah, well... Really, of the two of them, it's really not him that I pay the most attention to. Let's just be honest. So, I mean, I'm much more likely to remember her name than his anyway. He looks like a Matt, though, but I guess his name is Mike. Anyway, the guy who stocks the vending machine, and I feel like a jerk, because I'm terrible with names, and I always say that, but it makes me look like a jerk anyway. I forget his name. But the guy who stocks the vending machine heard me talking about the Chex Mix. Slipped Rick Emerson an extra bag.
Are you sure he didn't give it to you to give to me?
Chocolate friend. Do you want more?
Nah.
Come on, have another bag. Have another bag, Sarah. You look fine.
I'm doing just fine.
Okay, at the Ministry of Truth, here's your personal savior, Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
The one-armed man charged with stabbing his cousin to death in a motel room in Southern Oregon said he did it because of cracks made by his mom. James Edwards of Susanville, California, told police his cousin, Mark of Burns, Oregon, had threatened him. So he used the one arm he had and stabbed his cousin 13 times in the chest, back, throat, and head.
The moral is stay out of harm's way.
It was a strong arm tactic. Plus, they both men had been drinking.
He was armed and dangerous.
How would you like to have a giant slab of ice ball on your head?
Are you threatening me?
No, that's what happened in Washington, D.C. This giant slab of ice measuring 3 feet by 15 feet fell from the roof of 7-Eleven as the guy was going in the store. He's been rushed to the hospital. He is expected to live. The pilot of a hijacked Air Mauritania plane deliberately made a rough landing so the passengers and crews could tackle the gunman. He tipped off passengers about the plane after realizing the hijacker spoke no French, and it was a French plane. So he went on the intercom and explained in French what was going on.
And that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and at the same time, this hijacker is holding a gun to his head. So he was a hero. So he made a rough landing, and somebody threw a pond of boiling water at him. And then 10 people wrestled him to the ground.
Oh, let's not forget. Oh, God. And I've been putting it off, but I got to pack all my crap tonight because we're flying out tomorrow morning. I'm making you this pledge right now. Unless something goes really disastrously wrong, I'm not going to talk about airport security. I'm not. I got to move on. I can't keep doing that. So I'm not going to complain about airport security unless something goes... Unless something goes hideously wrong at the airport this weekend. So you don't have to prepare yourselves for that. I will say this, though. So I'm leaving tomorrow. We'll be doing some best ofs, although Tim and Sarah will be here. You guys will be here Monday and Tuesday. You'll be doing...
Oh, will we ever.
Live introductions and then fresh news and banter between pre-recorded segments of... see, this is why I can't eat during the show. It makes me mush mouth. Pre-recorded segments of Rick Emerson Goodness. And then on... pardon me. And then on Wednesday, we will have, I guess it's pointless, though, because your sister is going to be gone by then.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to do, you should have the Rockstar Supernova recap on Monday.
Oh, yeah, I don't know if she's even going to be able to make it at this point.
Yeah, so all the stuff that we would normally do, and the storm recap, you guys should just do all that Monday without me. Because go on without me. Leave me behind. Because we wait until Wednesday. It's just going to be pointless. All right, here's Jim Riley.
Ozori family filing the first lawsuit against Omaha-based ConAgra for its killer peanut butter.
Oh, I thought you meant it was like the brand.
No, no, no.
Okay.
People are eating it, and they get salmonella poisoning. So far, 300 residents in 39 states, including Oregon. Apparently, it's traced to ConAgra's Georgia peanut butter plant. So there. You want me to keep going?
Yes.
Well, in that
why
case,
ever?
All right. Well, I thought we had guests. That's why.
We do, but they can wait.
All right. Well, we'll let them wait. Time for a penis watch.
Are you going to introduce it?
Here's your penis watch.
Take a look.
Oh, I'm sorry.
At my enormous
this text mix is screwing with my brain. I got to put it away.
Troubles start melting away. I take a look at my enormous penis. And everything is going my way.
Here's your penis watch for Friday with Tim Riley.
Dateline the Philippines, a woman who got mad that her boyfriend of 12 years hadn't gotten her a Valentine's Day gift, flew into a rage and chopped off her left nipple after cutting off the boyfriend's penis.
Now you know how it feels, Sarah Dillon.
Oh!
Now you know how it feels.
Renato Reyes said that his girlfriend had wanted a wedding ring and had been asking for marriage due to stress and nagging from her mother who was dying of cancer. The girl herself also wanted to have children before she got too old to play with them. And her mother had hinted on several occasions that Renato was a loser and that her daughter would be better off without him. Obanada said that had he married his girlfriend like the mom wanted, she probably, the mom, would have not stopped nagging them anyway. So he saw no need to marry her as it kept their relationship much more alive that way. So the girlfriend, Lorelei, had warned him that that if he did not get her what she wanted after staying with him that long, that she would cut off part of a body that he loved the most. So Renato said he didn't take her seriously since she...
Why would you not...
Okay. She herself left her own breast.
What?
Oh, God,
and it forced Renato to pay for her to get a breast argumentation.
Oh, argumentation. I'm so confused. Did she threaten to cut off his penis or threaten to cut off her nipple?
Did she cut off...
Just the nipple.
So she's... Well, let me understand this. Mm-hmm. So... She wants to get married. Her mom, dying of cancer, wants her to get married. He's, like, dragging his feet. Because why would you possibly drag your feet to marrying a woman who's threatening to cut off your penis? And then she says, if you don't marry me, I will cut off the part of my body that you love the most.
That's correct, yes.
So his favorite part of her body was her left nipple.
Apparently so, yes.
Well, that makes sense. Okay, fair enough. I mean, if you're right-handed. Okay, so then the penis was just sort of an extra, like, that was an added bonus? That was just sort of a steak knives thing?
Yeah, we got that for you.
Okay,
well. Did she cut off his penis?
Let's find out.
Part two. Romanado said he immediately forgot about the threat, and he went to work that morning.
Well, how would you forget about that threat? Okay.
And upon coming home from work later that evening, he found a gift-wrapped box sitting on the floor of his living room. Just then, Lorelei walked in from the bedroom and straight out asked him for the ring. When Renato failed to produce such a ring, she calmly walked toward the box, opened it, and took out a brand-new machete. Renato then backed off out the front door and was obstructed by a chair behind him. He fell backwards, hit his head on the armchair, knocked himself out. When he came to, he was lying in a hospital bed with unbelievable pain to his groin. Now, the girlfriend did cut off her left nipple, but that was only after cutting his penis off.
Well, you got to take care of the big jobs first, and then you can, you know.
Well, Renato's penis is back on, almost ready for business again, and he said he's ready to forgive and forget. He would take her back as soon as she's released from prison.
Okay. Does it say what she did this with?
The machete.
That was the gift box. A machete.
Yeah.
So she used the machete on herself, too, not just on his penis.
Right.
But on her nipple.
Right.
Nipple.
Okay, stop saying that.
I'm just saying, we never had it. There's no nipple watch on this program. You don't understand the pain that these penis watchers cause for all kinds of guys out there. Now you understand, Sarah Dillon. All right. Well, there you go. There's your penis watch for Friday on the... Welcome to the Rick Emerson Show now. Aaron Duran and Scott Daly. Studio. I'll go ahead and play some entrance music. Wait, hold on. Now entering the studio from FilmFeverRadio.com, Scott Daly, and from GeekInTheCity.com, our good friend Aaron, Geek in the City. Durant joining us now on the Rick Emerson radio program. Hello, gentlemen. How are you today?
Hello.
Hello there.
Have you tried this chocolate Chex Mix?
No, sir, I have
not. It's fantastic.
You know, they made chocolate Chex Mix.
I didn't know it either about it, and it didn't seem like a thing that was going to be good, but let me assure you that it is fantastic.
Are there bits of Hershey's chocolate in there, or how's that working?
I know. It's just like
a little bit. Like mini M&Ms, except they're not M&Ms.
Is it coated with, are the Chex coated with cocoa powder?
No, it's like regular Chex Mix mixed with caramel corn. With M&M's sprinkled into it.
So it's nice and healthy.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic.
It sounds tasty.
Alexander, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello. Alexander. This is going to be my thing. Whenever a caller isn't there today, I'm just going to...
Brown is dead.
All right, there you go. All right. What's up in the world of filmfeverradio.com?
Well, we have got an exciting...
First of all, Aaron, don't you have a job?
Shh.
Okay. Sorry. Never mind.
I do.
You must be on break.
No, I was allowed to.
It's close by.
It was a slow day today, and I was allowed to leave early.
Uh huh.
Because my boss is actually kind of cool on that. If there's nothing going on.
All right.
However, I probably shouldn't say where I work because my boss's boss doesn't know that my boss does this.
Okay.
So
well, that's okay. We'll just.
Tuesday, if none of us have a job, we know what happens.
No one knows we're here. It's okay. We'll keep it a state secret.
This week on FilmFeverRadio.com, it's our first hour-long show. The people demanded it.
Both of them.
Yeah.
So we're an hour-long show now.
Yes.
And so it's an hour of foolishness and chicanery.
Excellent.
And we actually are reviewing Ghost Rider this week.
Ghost Rider!
I put that in there.
Yes.
Yeah, that's
fantastic.
Right.
Fantastic.
And tomorrow night is our all-female commentary of The Princess Bride.
Yeah, Lara's been asking to see. She's not going to be able to go, which is fine, because we're going to be out of town. We're going to be in San Diego, which is good, because I wasn't going to allow her to go anyway.
You weren't going to allow her to go.
I was going to have to put my foot down as the man.
Oh, yeah.
No, it's true.
Good luck there.
I don't know if I would have been successful or not, but
no,
I was going to have to.
I can almost say you weren't going to be successful.
because she wanted to go, and she wanted to be the voice of voice of dissent on the commentary.
I thought she just wanted the free Jello shots.
She just said, well, that's the other thing. Also, there's free booze, and she's an alcoholic. So but she wanted to go and be the voice of dissent because she doesn't like The Princess Bride.
Wow.
And that's a flaw that I'm willing to overlook because she has many fine traits.
It would have been nice to have the voice of dissent amongst that crowd, but the fact that it's we all a bunch of drunk women.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it could have gotten ugly because, man, if there's one film that women can obsess over, it's The Princess Bride, and the one person that doesn't like it, once they're all sober, it'll be all civil, but once the booze begins to flow,
it would have been Diana knocking out one of her front teeth.
Throwing her off the building.
Yeah. Hey, somebody send me a description of that house on Northeast Emerson, 5005 Northeast Emerson. It's $350,000, apparently a traditional home, if one ignores the sex acts and cocaine being done in the front yard. Four bedrooms, quiet cul-de-sac, again, see above, new carpet and windows, tall brick fire... new carpet, I would hope so, at this point. Large covered patio, private backyard, master suites, and so forth. And then we got a big people who sent us a bunch of, let's see. Northeast Emerson, it's between Alberta and Killingsworth, I guess. So, and they did win $800,000, I guess. I guess that's how much they won. Let's see. You can bet, Rick, 5005 Northeast Emerson Court is just out of Killingsworth, just under Alberta. You can bet nothing good is going on there. By the way, the giant picture of your head is the most fantastic thing I've ever seen. And by fantastic, I mean horrible.
One of my friends on MySpace took the big picture of your head that, you know, that's in your office covering half the wall.
Yes.
And George Costanza's.
I've seen that one. It is
brilliant.
I also think they photoshopped your head a little more and took away some hair.
Thank you.
Oh.
Thanks to whoever did that.
Nobody
I appreciate
needs to
that.
Take any more of his hair away.
You know what I didn't realize?
You prune a dead tree.
And you could. You know, I didn't even really... And you can see the photo that we're talking about at SarahXDillon.com. It's up on your site, right?
Uh-huh.
SarahXDillon.com. What I didn't realize is when... What's her name? That Julia, that 16-year-old job shadow student who was in here the other day. I didn't realize that when she came into my office to sit down and go over the paperwork for the job shadow stuff, that it was the first time that photo had actually been used for its intended purpose, which is to terrify people who sit on the other side of the desk. And I didn't realize that until later.
Behind your desk?
What?
It's behind you, so when you're...
Have you not seen it?
I've not been there, no.
Okay, you got it.
Oh, all right.
It's
bad.
Fantastic.
Field trip after this.
No, it's pretty great.
Right.
The moral of the story is if you say anything out loud around the engineers, it's just sort of amusing, they will make it happen. Like, if there's a board engineer and you say, you know, I'd like one of those levitating skateboards like Marty McFly had, like, you'll come in the next day and it'll be built.
Sweet.
And so she's sitting there on one side of the desk going, well, I'm a communication student and I really want to be in. And meanwhile, there's me. Let me see if I can pull up the picture here while we're talking. If you go to sarahxdillon.com, I don't think it's probably not the most recent entry at this point. Let me see if I can bring it up. So she's sitting on one side of the desk and she's talking to me. And then I'm sitting on the other side of the desk. And then behind me, taking up the entire back wall of my new office, which is fantastic, is this giant photograph. I was thinking for a minute about doing the Warhol, like the four panel color thing. But then I think Tori Spelling already had that done.
Yeah, and you made fun of her, and now you have your giant face on the wall.
Well, but I'm saying mine is more of a...
It's more tasteful.
There you go. Right there. That's my office.
The George Costanza version is better, though. I hate to say it.
Oh. Yeah. Well, looking.
That's really kind of creepy.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. And the best thing is that nobody else can do it now. Because it's like I've carved out this gimmick as my own. No one else can have a giant picture of their own
Next
face.
Really a big video screen of your face.
And V Red Dead style.
Well, I was just saying, I wanted to trigger the door, too. So every time I walked in the door, it played my theme music, you know. Or just some sort of a coronation march.
Play the Imperial March when they open the door.
Exactly. Every time I go anywhere. So.
You need to have engineers make a hologram projector so you're like the Wizard and the Wizard of Oz. With a big glowing green head.
You laugh, they'll do it. Silence!
Or like Lex Luthor and Otis and Superman, when they're breaking out, they have the hologram where they're playing chess and you walk in front of it and disappear.
Let's see, what else do we have here? Rick, about embalming. I'm not sure of the entire process, but they don't take your guts out. That's mummification. But your blood is replaced with embalming fluid, which is a preservative. And other things like... And then apparently there's a gauze that goes in some of your openings to keep the contents from, in his words, oozing everywhere.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Yeah,
I'm
sure.
Well, there's no self-healing. I mean, the skin doesn't seal up again. It's,
and you're dead.
Dead tissue,
and your meat's
so.
Full of holes. You got to plug
meat,
it somehow.
Your meat's full of holes. You know, it's days like this when I look over and I see Sarah rubbing her temples with her fingers and muttering the words 37 minutes to herself that I realize that this program achieves something close to genius in certain moments. When your meat is full of holes.
That's all we are.
Yeah, we come back. We got Tim Riley with the news. We'll play Spot the Fake Metal lyrics for a... Thank you. Thanks for that. We'll play Spot the Fake Metal lyrics for a pair of tickets to see Rockstar Supernova tonight at Memorial Coliseum. And we'll
Have
talk
a good
about...
flight, Rick.
The new movie Ghost Rider. Thank you. This is a Blood Rock. We'll be back. It's a Rick Emerson Show on AM977 State Radio. Stay there.
Someone lays a sheet across my chest. Something warm is flowing down my fingers. Pain is flowing all through my back. I tried to move my arm and there's no feeling. And when I look, I
producer to show up tomorrow morning.
Thank you. Thanks for that. I appreciate that.
All right, now I have to let. Now I have to wait for the line. I have to let it go all the way here.
Pain is flowing out with my blood. The sheets are red and moist where I'm lying. God in heaven, teach me how to die.
Fantastic.
Load the song into your iPod and walk down the terminal.
They have those backpacks that have the little speakers on the back so you can entertain others in the airport with your music.
That is fantastic. It's not a constant loop.
503. Well, somebody stole my idea for the T-shirt that says, I am not a terrorist. I wanted to wear a T-shirt at the airport that said, I am not a terrorist.
And like
somebody...
someone stole your Christmas... whatever that song
Christmas
was.
Convoy.
Christmas Convoy.
Yeah. Yes, I'm looking
everyone
at you, Matt Groening. It's true.
Sons of bitches.
Roger Dodger, King of the Jews. 503-7338. By the way, speaking of...
738-52...
379.
What are you doing?
You were just randomly saying numbers. You weren't even saying our phone number.
Is there a niner in there?
Waiting for that thing.
Fat guy in little coat. all right, we've got to stop it now. And, all right, it's 503-733-2970. In just a few minutes, what we'll do is Scotty just handed me...
a love note?
A love note from Scotty. No, it's the Rockstar Supernova ticket. So here's what we'll do. We'll go to the Ministry of Truth here in a second. We'll talk to Scott Daly and Aaron Duran about Ghost Rider. We'll do fake metal lyrics, etc. We'll take a few of these phone calls as well. Ladies and gentlemen, your president, prophet, seer, and revelator.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
The inventor of the TV remote control is dead.
Oh, no.
Robert Adler, who won an Emmy Award...
Has been muted for life.
Has been muted.
Oh, my God.
He died in his Boise nursing home at the age of 93.
Oh, that's so sad.
He invented
the best invention ever, and he's in a nursing home in Boise?
Yep, he had a six-decade career with Zenith. He was a prolific inventor, earning more than 180 U.S. patents. He was best known for his 1956 Zenith Space Command remote control.
The Space Command was cool, man. I've seen the old magazine ads for that thing.
Yeah.
He joined Zenith's research division in 1941 after earning a doctorate of physics at the University of Vienna. He retired as research vice president in 1979 and served as a technical consultant until 1999. The U.S. Patent and Trademark Office published his most recent patent application for advances in the touchscreen technology on February 1st.
God, where would we be without the remote control? I mean, you think about how often...
In better shape.
able to see my toes.
Yeah.
The Space Command was great, actually. The way that the Space Command worked is that you pointed it at one of the four corners of your television. And one of the corners of the television was on, one was off, one was up volume, I believe, and one was down volume. Oh, no, up channel, and the other was down channel. That's all you could do. It couldn't mute. It couldn't do anything like that. And it was a big, like, clicky thing. It was like the size of a Kleenex box.
Big old buttons.
Yeah. But, I mean, you think about what an astounding invention that is. I mean, the remote control is just, it goes beyond an invention. I mean, it's a cultural icon. It is a before and after dividing line in this country.
Would you say the remote control is one of the 970 greatest things ever?
It absolutely is. By the way, we're going to start reading some of those submissions on the air. And a lot of people have said that they don't think that's a real thing we're doing. They think that 970 greatest things ever, they think it's just like a gag, that we're never going to do it. And it's not true. We're taking submissions right now at 970.am. You go to the website, you can fill in the thing, and then we're going to start counting them down in March. And there's some really good ones, stuff that I never would have thought of. I'll say this one. This one guy, he went to 970.am and he clicked on the form. And he filled out the 970 greatest things submission. And the one he submitted was brand new pairs of socks. And he wrote this long, glowing thing. He's like, think about a brand new pair of socks.
Oh, they're awesome.
Right, I never thought, right out of the package. And he's like, you put them on your feet. And he's like, there's nothing better on your feet than a brand new pair of warm socks. So that's going to be on the list somewhere, probably. Here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, a man known as the Naked Neighbor because he constantly exposes himself in view of both adults and children is feeling frustrating to those who just want him to cover up. Neighbors have been complaining about the naked fellow for decades. Now, if you drive by the man's home, which is at Brownlee and Near City Roads in Rainier, Oregon, you just might see this fellow.
One woman complains, I've seen him 6 or 7 times. But she doesn't want to be shown on camera as the TV crew went there. He's naked and he wants to be seen. The man's name is Jimmy Mac McKenzie. He turns 60 next month. Neighbors say he's been strutting his stuff in front of them since he's been in his 40s.
Wait, how old is he now?
60.
Yeah, no one wants to see that.
Can I just interject something really quick here? Tim Riley, you saved my life.
Well, I tried to save the life of my family.
I heard Tim Riley's peanut butter and salmonella story yesterday. Yeah. Got home last night, opened up my pantry, looked at my jar of Peter Pan peanut butter, and sure enough, it was one of the tainted jars.
Really, was it?
Yeah.
Were you tempted to do something with it? Were you tempted to give it to an enemy? Or just to put it in the cupboard of somebody you don't like?
I bet you still have it. You didn't throw it away, did you?
I did. I tossed it. I went to my wife's and Maxine, we're throwing this away. Tim Riley tells me salmonella.
Now, how did you throw it away?
We tossed it. I opened a cupboard and tossed it.
You just open, but what do you mean, to open the trash can and soft it in?
Yeah.
You know by now a homeless person has eaten that and died. So?
Well, that's first off the street. I don't care. I'd be better.
The naked man is suburban perspective already.
It's just St. Helens.
So thank you. Yeah, it's pretty close to Rainier. But thank you, Tim Riley, for saving my family's life.
That's why I always eat Fred Meyer peanut butter.
All right.
So the brand names for these are Peter Pan and Great Value. They have sickened close to 300 people nationwide. If you open up the lid, you'll see the numbers 2111. Throw it away.
Or die.
It's sort of a reverse lottery.
Give it to a
Great Value is
Walmart.
That's Walmart.
It's like a reverse contest. You know what I mean?
Best lottery.
Yeah, seriously.
I was like, oh, we have one. Cool.
It's like that laughing cow cheese where you open that laughing cow. It's like, sorry, this is not a winning game piece. This is where you know it's a delayed reaction. You don't really find out until you're until you begin leaking blood. So
I won. I'm a winner. Finally, I won.
As you're aiming. Is bleeding. All right. Let's do one more here, and then we'll do Spot the Fig Metal Lyrics.
Well, a 62-year-old man accused of taking teenage boys on nude snowmobile rides has pled guilty to lewdness. This is from Utah, not from around here. Beside these snowmobiles, Richard Lamb and two 15-year-olds used a sauna in the nude during a trip to his cabin last year. Lamb told deputies in an interview he didn't feel anyone was uncomfortable. He did not receive jail time. He did not? That's what it says. He will not receive jail time and must undergo a mental evaluation and complete a recommended treatment. He must write letters of apology and avoid unsupervised contact with minors.
Well, it is Utah.
And he was he was a bishop for the Mormon Church.
There you go.
Hyde Park from 1991 to 1996.
Blah, 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 Lamb of God, blah, blah, blah. All right. 503. Well, I mean, it had to be
said. Does anyone find it odd riding a snowmobile nude?
Seriously, why?
People cold.
It's like one of those idiots in Wisconsin always jumping into the river in December.
Just bouncy.
All right, there you go. Tim Riley, ladies and gentlemen.
Difficult to put up with this pain, and I'm just willing to try anything that will help me. I'm desperate to find somebody out there that has had these or maybe knows a cure.
How old is that girl?
She's a teenager. So.
Oh, I see.
Because she's aging in dog years now.
I was going to say, because that's going to be awkward when she tries to become intimate with a man at some point in her life.
You can't. No, baby, it's not you, it's me.
I wonder if, I mean, seriously, never mind.
Did you make money with that?
She's hiccuping 50 times a minute, right?
Very good.
Yes.
You can't...
Wait, 50 times a minute?
She's hiccuping 50 times a minute. That's going to interfere with your love life or speed it up.
Maybe. Yeah, that was only like a 9-second soundbite.
Yeah, seriously. All right, let's get a couple calls here and we'll do Spot the Fake Metal Lyrics. John, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, I was just wondering, whatever happened to Jason Newsted on that Rockstar Supernova?
He hurt his...
Well, yeah, there's the cover story and then there's the real story. I mean, the real story, I think, is it, and this is my opinion only. The real story is he's got that band of his, Echo Brain, and I think that probably Rockstar Supernova. He seems like a smart guy. He's a sharp cookie. And I think that in my opinion, the real deal with Jason Newsted is it was just a straight cash run, that he figured that was a way he could work for a couple hours a week, get his name out there and get some money to keep his band going and to put it into his musical projects and do whatever. And it was probably just a calculated maneuver on his part that for not a lot of money he could make some money. And, and again, he'd be able to use it to further his music career. The cover story is that he was lifting an amplifier and gave himself like a fracture in his wrist, which is certainly possible, but doesn't seem very likely to me.
Who's the new bass player?
Johnny Colt, who was in the Black Crowes.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, so Newsted is not a part of this. I strongly suspect that he never planned to be part of it. I mean, you see him, he's the smartest guy there. He's the most together guy.
Not saying much.
What's that?
I said, that's not saying much.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like the bar was said especially. I'm not trying to knock like Dave Navarro and those guys, but I'm saying Jason Newsted's a very serious guy. He's a guy who takes his musical career very, very seriously.
And he's always been like that, too. It's yeah. Thanks for the show. He's always been.
Go ahead.
Abandoning Rockstar probably was a very serious, smart career move for him.
Well, seriously, I mean, it's like, who wants to do that? Especially when you've been in Metallica and you've played for, you know, I mean, you've been at Donington, you know, you played for 500,000 people or whatever. You're going to be at the Memorial Coliseum playing for the janitor. So, I mean, not that that's going to happen tonight. Theoretically, theoretically. All right, thank you, John.
Yep, bye.
There you go. All right, there you go. That's John. Let's do a couple more, and then we'll do fake metal lyrics. Paul, what's up?
Hey, how's it going?
What do you got, brother?
Hey, Scott should get his peanut butter out of the trash.
Because?
Because I just came down from Seattle, and there was a lawyer up there on the radio talking about he's bringing a class action lawsuit against the company. Anybody who has a jar is eligible.
That's the thing, and you've just now confessed on the radio that you threw it away because you knew it was lethal. So you probably don't want anybody. I'm telling you, man, somebody eats that out of your trash can and dies, and you threw it away because you knew it was lethal. That's going to work out badly for you. So
if he can find it, he needs to get it. And I think it was on like Como 1000. You can go on their website and find out about it.
Done.
And it's some lawyer in Seattle. He's going to make money off it. You might get a little bit. But
some lawyer in Portland.
Paul, if I get the money off it, I'm taking you for drinks.
All right, thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
I'm telling you, man, yeah, that's the thing is, if you threw that away in the trash, I was going to say, if you smashed it or something, because you're like, well, this could kill anybody who touches it. Let me put it outside where everyone has access. Free peanut butter.
You're right.
All right, that's Paul.
Done.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Scotty, we're going to go ahead and take caller number 5 here for Spot the Fake Metal Lyrics at 503-733-2970. The winner, if you can deduce the fake metal lyrics here, you win a pair of tickets to the Rockstar Supernova show tonight at Memorial Coliseum. With the proviso that you must call up on Monday's program and kind of give a blow-by-blow account of how the show goes down. So it's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970 to play Spot the Fake Metal Lyrics with Aaron Duran and Scott Daly. Our good friend Dennis Pitzenbarger from The Fuel Show, Saturdays 9 to 11. What's up, brother?
Hey, not much. I just wanted to ask Scott's opinion. I needed a film fever overlay of if he's had a chance to see anything with Ghost Rider, and whether it is either going to resurrect or put the final nail in the coffin called Nicolas Cage's career. I'm anticipating the movie. I, you know, being a car motorcycle guy, I think it's something that kind of goes along with that and superheroes. I wanted to get Scott's opinion, whether it's good or bad, or should I waste the $8.50 to go see it?
Should I jump in on this one?
Let's do a very quick review, just really quickly. It's not going to ruin Nicolas Cage's career. His career is intact. The movie is awful. But we'll get to it a little bit.
Dennis, if you're a fan of superheroes and motorcycles, you're going to be disappointed on both counts on this movie.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
It's really, really, really depressing. The best thing about it is Eva Mendez, who's smoking hot.
Now, I don't know anything about this. Isn't the guy with the flaming skull?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he's Bad to the Bone playing on the trailer.
No, really?
It does, although Bad to the Bone is never played once in the movie, and I was waiting for it.
But that's the stay away sign.
Yeah.
Although Ozzy's Crazy Train is played in this.
Yeah, you got to make money somehow.
Yeah, just avoid it like the plague, man. It's awful.
It's really disappointing because you wanted. I saw it. I was really excited. The way that they build it up. I mean, that's what they do with promos. But you know, I just thought it would be so much better. It's a letdown to hear it. But you know, hey, I value your opinion.
Here's the thing, though. It's not a horrible film, but it's not a great film. It's just kind of eh. You know, it's not even a film you can rent on DVD and get drunk with your friends and laugh at it. It's just you walk out of the theater just going, okay.
Will you tell me what I want to hear and just tell me because I'm a car and motorcycle nut, I'm going to like it for that reason?
No. I can't.
No.
I can't. That you're a friend of mine, and I can't do that to you.
All right. Well, say I appreciate the honesty. I guess I'll wait for the $1 DVD rental.
All right. Yeah. There you go. Go watch Tokyo Drift again.
So I just watched Pan's Labyrinth last night.
That's a beautiful film.
Wasn't that amazing? I didn't see so much the beauty as I did the horrible killing.
No, I mean beautiful in terms of how it was shot.
The creatures were amazing.
As a story. It was a beautiful film.
It was, but it was just really... I wasn't expecting it.
I don't even know what that's about. Is it a fairy tale or something?
It's an old fairy tale, yeah. It's fantastic. It's so well done.
What is it that plays on Hawthorne? The Magic Lantern? Is that?
It's playing everywhere now.
It's playing a lot of theaters.
Yeah. They keep adding theaters every week, which is a sign that it's doing very well.
Which surprises me because for an American audience, we have to read while we watch it.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, is it subtitled? Where's it from?
It's Spain.
Oh, okay.
It's
beautiful to hear them speaking in Spanish.
Oh, it's so great.
And the subtitles aren't distracting.
Oh, I know that guy. He did
Devil's Backbone. He did Hellboy.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I know that. And then there's that movie, Breach. Is that that spy movie coming out? I'm totally going to go see that.
That was outstanding.
All right, yeah. Have you seen that?
No, not yet.
All right, the reviews on it have been really strong.
Yeah, I'm going to see this weekend.
All right, it's time to play Spot the Fake Metal Lyrics for a pair of tickets to see Rockstar Supernova tonight at Memorial Coliseum. Daniel.
Yes.
How are you doing, sir?
Best show ever.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Are you ready and willing to see Rockstar Supernova tonight at Memorial Coliseum?
Not only am I willing, I am just barely willing.
Are you sure? You sound just thrilled.
Well, that's what we're looking for. So there you go. The bare minimum. Delusions of adequacy is what we seek, sir. So here's the deal. I'm going to have Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com perform one set of metal lyrics, and then I will have Aaron Duran perform one set of metal lyrics. And Scott, I'm going to have you move to Tim's mic because your mic's crackling a little bit. Okay. We're getting some crackle on that mic. And so one of these metal lyrics...
Oh, that was you.
That was me. Sorry.
Sorry.
One of these metal lyrics is real. One of these metal lyrics is fake. We'll do both, and then you will have to deduce which one is which. Are you ready, sir?
I'm ready.
All right. I'm having Aaron pick one of these sets, okay? And will you pass the other to Scott? All right. First up will be Aaron Duran. He will be performing a set of metal lyrics for you. Pay no attention to the melody or the phrasing. You're simply concerned with lyrics here, and you're finding out which set of lyrics... which set of lyrics actually was written by Scotty and which was not. So I'm making sure my, waiting for this to load here. Hold on 1 second. All right, hold on. Let me get this queued up. Are you ready, sir?
I'm ready.
All right, first up, Aaron Duran. Daniel, spot those fake metal lyrics. I gotta get into this feeling. I gotta get into this groove here.
How you feeling, Aaron?
I'm feeling.
Okay.
I'm on the road, needing a fix. Stopped by a farm, ripped off some hicks. Been up for 3 days, shaking with pain. Need the miracle medicine before going insane. Metal for men, it's a game I won't lose. Get in my way and I'll honk your steel toes, boots. Metal, metal, metal. It feels my insulin. Metal, metal. Cash it in for death throw existence.
That's embarrassing. All right.
Wow.
Fantastic. I had to sing it. How do you think I feel?
There you go. That's that set of lyrics, the first. All right. Are you ready for the second set of lyrics, Daniel?
Now, was that Supernova?
Okay, you really ought to win just for that. But all right, here we go. Your set of lyrics, the second, by Scott Daly.
All right, here we go.
Don't be a pussy.
All right. Crush it. You see it. You need it. You can't live without it now. Still breathe it and feed it. You've grown addicted to its power. Something falls away. It accelerates. It keeps coming faster. Pleasure for pain. It's replaced. It's no laughing matter. It kicks you and it breaks you. Leaving and seeing what has happened. Cries down laughter unhappily ever after.
Okay, and those are all terrible. All right, Daniel, inexplicably, one of those sets of lyrics is real. One of them was created by Scotty J. Daniel, which set of lyrics were fake?
I will have to go with the first set.
Yes, congratulations. Yes. All right, Daniel, you are going to see Rockstar Supernova tonight at Memorial Coliseum. Well done. You got to call in. Now, I'm not going to be here Monday. Tim and Sarah will be here. They'll be doing banter and news between the pre-recorded segments.
I believe Scotty J will be here,
and
too.
Scotty J will be here as well. So you got to call in Monday and give them a wrap-up of it, all right?
It's a deal. How do I get my tickets?
I'm going to put you on hold. Scotty J will get your information, and we'll get those to you today. You can come pick those up today, my friend.
Can I just mention who the real medic is?
Yeah.
The name of the band?
Yeah, let's give the name of Scotty's song and the name of the real song.
All right. Scotty's song was Metal for Mess.
Yeah.
Of course it was.
What was the other song? What was the real song?
The real song was a song called No Laughing Matter by...
Thundercracker.
Thundercracker?
Thundercracker.
Just a really big white man.
I am Thundercracker.
The world's ultimate male.
Speaking of really big white men, did you see that if you look at the Fritos in the machine in the kitchen?
Oh, God.
They've tried to make it look all retro with like an old school design, but it's the Frito Kid. And we all know that it wasn't the Frito Kid. It was the Frito Bandito.
Gotta be PC. They don't offend anybody.
Frito Bandito has gone away the same way Sambo has left. We're both gone.
I don't offend Aaron's people.
You're talking like Strong Bad there.
I know it happened. I can't help it.
Afternoon.
All right. Back after this, the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere. That I love you.
Nerd. Yeah, we do. We do very love. You're our top
eight. I love you.
No, you don't.
I love you.
Okay, that's legit. Sweet and creepy all at once.
Creepy conversation.
Well, you just made it.
Let's go moisturize after the show.
And are you guys really getting into a fight about who added who to whose MySpace?
They're yelling at me because I didn't put them on my top eight. I just put Scotty J in there.
Is Scotty J in your top eight, but not Aaron?
Thanks or Film Fever Radio. Thanks, Sarah.
No, she's done that before.
Well, you guys are all added to each other's accounts. Is that what you're...
But it's just that, you're not...
Who is but when I click on the least Sarah comment, I don't see myself.
I just keep it professional, except for my sister. So it's the Rick Emerson Show, Barfly, AK-47 Clothing, Baby Girl Boutique, Scotty J. Rocks, Rick Emerson.
Bam.
And against me.
So here's a question about MySpace. So is it possible to put a comment in your own comments section?
No.
That's sad.
Okay, yeah, and a picture of my own face. No, here's why. Because I'll get people who ask questions sometimes about the show in the comments thing, and I want to answer right above it.
No, you can't. You can do that in your blog, but you can't do it in your comments.
I understand that, but if they're posting a question about the show, like to whatever, to the public or to the other people in the comments thing, I want to post the answer so everybody can see it.
No, it's not like a forum. You can't do it. You've got to create a separate account. I got a good name, but they'll take it if I say it.
Somebody, I don't know, because a couple weeks ago, somebody had posted a question about the show, like, hey, I've been listening to the show. I wonder, blah, 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 blah. And some other people chimed in. They're like, hey, that's a good question. Da, da, da. And I wanted to answer it. I wanted to put, like, a little post and just answer it once and for all. But you can't do that, can you?
Rick, on your page, somebody posted Emerson Street.
Really?
They posted a picture of it, yeah, standing in front of it
today. On my MySpace page? Fantastic.
And I'm your number one friend.
Are we all in high school?
How long have you been in Oregon, in Portland, Rick? 7 years, 8 years?
9 years.
And you just today learned there's an Emerson Street?
I guess maybe I knew, but I don't know. I just forgot about it.
I thought you'd know that.
Yeah, it's, you know,
whatever.
It's not a thing I really worry about. No, I wonder about that sometimes because there will be people who are asking questions about the show, and I always want to like post the answer. Rather than having to email everybody who ever posted in the forum, like, individually with the answer to the question, it just seems dumb. So, well, that bugs me that I can't do that. Damn, MySpace. Here's the thing I wonder about with MySpace, and I wonder this, too. What constitutes, like, being online? Do you ever get this? Sometimes, like, I will get these emails that someone has sent me at 3 in the morning. It's like, dude, it's 3 in the morning. Why are you still logged into MySpace? Get a life. And it's like, I wasn't even home. Like, I was asleep.
Sure.
But was your computer on?
Yeah, did you leave it on MySpace?
No. If you leave that window open and you have the little guy going, then it looks like you're online all the time.
It must be something more than that, though, because I'm real anal retentive about closing all the windows when I'm done with the computer. Like, when I go to bed for the night,
that
I close everything.
Yeah, but do you have your password?
No. Do you have, like, cable internet where you're basically always online?
Exactly. I'm always online.
I think it recognizes your IP and it just says you're there.
See, that's what I'm saying. I'm always logged in because my internet access at home is always on. And so I'll get these, like, why are you still up? And it's like, I wasn't up. And
I'll ask Jen. She knows all about this
stuff. It kind of freaks me out. For the love of... All right. Connor. Hello, sir.
Hey. So, Rick, there is a big event going on right now down at the Memorial Coliseum this Sunday. It's the Portland Comic Convention.
Why was Blood Rock just playing in the background?
I have it on my computer, but it's down, and the button's not on yet. It's playing. I have no idea.
Nothing stops the blood.
All right. I'm sorry. All right, Connor, what's going on?
Well, there is a Portland Comic Convention this Sunday, 10 to 5 at the Memorial Coliseum. We got the biggest dealer's room ever, like 150 tables or something. I thought Aaron would definitely be
Aaron.
You know.
No, I brought it up when I called about Rockstar.
Schultz is going to be there.
No. I was just saying that the comic show is in the same place as Rockstar Supernova.
It's in the basement.
And the comic show is going to take up more room than
yeah.
the show.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And appropriately, it's in the basement. So.
Yeah. All right. Okay, so that's happening this week.
Boba Fett's going to be there.
Yes. That's this weekend, Sunday? Sunday. 10 to 5 at the Memorial Coliseum.
Okay, excellent.
Never mind.
All right, and is there like a website or something for that?
Yeah, the website for it is, it's pretty self-explanatory, PortlandComicBookShow.com.
Cool, PortlandComicBookShow.com. Excellent, thank you, Connor.
All righty.
All right, there you go. That's Connor.
I think I just saw a porn star in the hallway.
Really?
I don't know. I didn't recognize her, but she had big shiny boots.
That's why you said porn star.
As opposed to someone chick in a bikini.
No, someone in the adult entertainment industry.
But again, how would you know it's someone in the adult entertainment
industry? Well, she was walking.
Is it someone you recognize?
No.
Do you have a favorite porn star? Favorite current porn star? Go.
No, I don't. By name, no.
All right.
And that's what I recommend.
She's not an official porn star, though. I'm a big Dita Von Teese fan.
Oh, yeah. Dita Von Teese is really hot.
Yeah.
And single.
And what's weird is she's a natural blonde.
Yeah.
She dyed that black.
The best thing is Scotty's typing in the screen, porn stars rule.
Jesus.
All right. Doesn't that violate the sacrament of holy matrimony, Scotty J?
Welcome out of the Rick Emerson Show, Mailman Chris. Hello, sir.
Hey, I get the porn segue. Excellent.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Hey, Rick, you have two MySpace accounts. You have the Rick Emerson Show.
I actually run
Yeah, but that's Sarah. That's a front. I don't have anything to do with that.
I was going
to
say, because you can use that to post comment on yours or vice versa.
Okay, that's
there you go.
Sometimes I just want to address a bunch of people at once, and I don't have to email them all individually. Yeah.
Also, if you sign out of MySpace, there's a sign out button. If you sign out, even if you're online, if you sign out, your online button goes away.
Ah, okay. So I have to log out.
Log out before you close the window.
All right, where am I at push-up-wise?
You did not get the top five today, so you missed one today. You were technically at negative two yesterday.
So I'm still good.
Negative one.
Work off the chocolate checks.
There you go. Good man.
And your face is still bright red.
Thank you, sir.
And you moved 3 inches. That was impressive.
See you guys tonight.
All right, see you Storm tonight. Storm tonight at Dante's. FilmFeverRadio.com, Aaron Duran at GeekInTheCity.com. We'll see you all tonight at Storm. We want to thank Lisa Goddard, Jim Roop, Ed McCarthy, Anna Nicole, still dead. See you Monday.
Bye.